Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 82, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. How Stella Got Her Groove Jack. Courtesy of Kelly Kittren, a.k.a. Rose of the Radical, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
He's co-host, reads the news each day, has the hottest takes, takes blunts to the face. The podcast is second rate, give it up for Miles Gray.
Dan. Okay, so that is to the tune of There She Goes by the Lalas.
Yeah.
What are they called? The Lalas or the La? Anyway, that was from Will Kendrick at Sokogeki VHS. Oh, wow. You hit me with some Japanese Twitter handles. Okay, I see you. I see my man.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Kelly Nugent.
Yay!
What's up?
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for being here.
We were just talking about, you know, growing up in L.A., partying.
Yeah.
You know, how that goes.
Those of us who party, those of us who do not.
Right. Did you grow up in Torrance, you said?
I grew up in Torrance, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I went to the bad school, South High.
Oh, what's the good school?
West High.
Oh, shit.
And that was where my mom taught. And oh, wow. She was always like, wouldn't it be fun if I taught at your school? And I was like,
get away from me. No.
Did you ever go to school with, like, in high school? Did you ever have kids whose parents were teaching at the high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, they had to act like, fuck, they were in a cult. I remember. Yeah. I was like, bro, you are so boring because your mom could be like, Billy, right. I see you.
Wait, they had to be extra good, you mean?
Yeah, they just weren't like... I don't know. I feel like they could tell that they had this sort of air of like they had to not embarrass their parent at school because then like we wouldn't take their mom seriously. Mm. Senora Madden, who's teaching Spanish.
Yeah, you do get like kind of like because my mom was super, super strict growing up, like crazy strict.
Wow.
And I remember being horrified that people would find out how strict my mom was if she was like at my school.
Right, uh-huh. Right.
And I remember one time she subbed. This was back when she was subbing. She subbed in my fifth grade class and there's something wrong with her. Afterwards, she's like, you know, they said that I was pretty strict. And I was like, that's not good, Mom. Leave me alone.
Right. She's like, cool. I call it discipline. They're going to thank me in 25 years.
Yeah. I had strict parents, too. And yeah, it's always funny. People are like, why is your dad not cool? Like, what's his deal?
It's like, motherfucker, I don't know. That's him.
That's not my problem.
I know. I know. Yeah.
All I can do is make sure I'm cool and end the cycle of uncoolness. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I tried really hard to be cool. It didn't stick per se.
Right.
Like, I was way too into wearing like Esmeralda on my shirts for like way too long.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
And like, got like Disney hiking boots and would wear those.
Hell yeah.
Would wear those hiking or
no,
to school?
School.
Yeah.
So Disney was your personality?
Because you never know when a hike's going to break out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The emergency hikes.
Right. Emergency hiking.
I'd be like, well, I'm prepared.
Right.
Not necessarily just Disney stuff, but like, just like, people called me like babyish a lot.
Mm.
Like, oh, okay. So I like didn't, I was just weird. I don't know. I liked the things I liked.
Yeah.
And like,
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm proud of that, but yeah, at the time it was
at the
like,
time,
horrible.
Not cool. Right.
You're like, she's playing dolls in the bathroom.
Yeah.
They're reenactments with figurines.
And meanwhile, Miles was out getting maced in the backyard
yeah,
at parties.
Getting maced. That was like my dream.
The valley's wild.
He was the, when a party would happen at your high school and then the kids from the other school district would show up, Miles was those kids.
Or we would clock out of school kids real quick at our parties, be like, yo, who the fuck is this? Oh, they from Taft?
Yeah.
Oh, is that Moose Crew? Oh, okay, we got something for them.
So were you guys like the hotties from another school when you went into
into the
parties?
No, I was the guy in band who sold weed but had a razor sharp wit, which is what allowed me entry to the other parties.
There
that's
you go.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Like, you're like a jester.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, that kid's selling his wisdom tooth painkillers for 10 times over. Bring him in.
You're the Tyrion Lannister of the
hell yeah.
Yeah,
right.
You know
your school
strength.
District.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Kelly, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Oh, we're going to talk about all of the fine people who have named their children in the year 2018 after Game of Thrones characters and how some of those names have probably taken a dive on the name stock
market.
Whoa.
Let's not you know, spoil anything.
We'll talk about specifically
we'll talk about
what happened, but we'll talk about the most popular names, and then we'll respond to the episode in the third act. We're going to talk about old millennials and Gen Xers and boomers having a laugh at Gen Z and their response to rotary phones. Inability to make sense of that.
We found a way to, you know, put our differences aside generationally to realize, y'all don't know how to use a fucking rotary phone.
Yeah.
Shout out to being old.
We're going to talk about the fact that they're selling navel cheese of famous people.
It's on display.
Okay.
Right. Maybe you could buy it.
Wait, when you say navel cheese, I'm sorry. What?
I think it's like belly button lips.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, no, these aren't
fucking.
Well, hold on. We'll explain. It's not just straight up grit you get out of there after a steam room. You know
okay.
what I mean?
But, oh, okay. Maybe I got it wrong.
No, it is right. But it's bacteria used to culture the milk to then give the cheese its flavor profile.
What?
Oh, that's even worse. Cool. We're going to talk about the trade wars with China. We're going to talk about the GoFundMe for the wall that turns out wasn't shockingly, like all those email forwards that people who support Trump send you, was not totally on the up and up.
Of course.
Then in Act 3, we're going to talk about it being a tough weekend for Sixers fans and for people who are big Game of Thrones fans, certain people who are big Game of Thrones fans. So we'll talk about all of that and more. But first, Kelly, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I Googled, are chastity belts real?
Like now?
were
they ever?
Were
a thing?
They?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Were they?
And
yes.
Where can I get one? No. What did you learn?
They're not real.
They're not.
They're not real.
Okay.
So chastity belts in general are real. They're mostly used for fetish play now.
Okay. Right.
But the ones that we see, like the one in
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
It's an Everlast.
is like the idea of a chastity belt was actually like really similarly used as in that movie as a joke. So basically right. people would be like, oh, put on your chastity belt, I'm going to war. And right. women would be like, ha ha ha, you're oppressing me, and like let it lie.
I hope you fucking right. get an arrow
yeah.
through the
eye. Yeah. While you're gone, I'm going to fuck
I'm
everyone
fucking the
here.
Stable boy.
So yeah, they're not like, and the ones that you see in like, you know, those like museums of
torture
erotic,
museums
whatever.
Or right.
Yeah, right. So they're either torture devices mm-hmm. or they are devices made for the prurient, which is like people that, it's a kind of a derogatory term for people that are like sexually deviant, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, they were either made for like conversation pieces where right. like a collector would be like, oh, look at my piece or whatever.
Right.
But all of those were actually made in the 1800s or later and not during medieval times.
That's interesting.
So that's the kind of stuff I Google.
Damn.
It's interesting. Like, yeah, there, a lot of things from history are jokes that we just forgot were jokes.
I think we forgot that that historically people have had humor. Like
right.
we're just like, oh, well, that had to be real. But
right, sex and humor. I guess we kind of make room for sex, but like, there's a like, yeah. I don't think we make a lot of jokes. We tend to put the
yeah.
little fig leaf over the sex parts. We think it's all uptight people, and like in actuality, Puritan society had to have all those rules because people were like fucking everywhere in Puritan
yeah.
society, like in the bushes. You'd be walking
right.
down the street and people would be fucking in the bushes. And yeah, Napoleon was not short. That was a rumor made to make fun of him. He was
really?
Of average height.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So it's just like,
I feel like a chump.
Yeah.
I've been believing this my whole life.
Well, you look really ridiculous right now. I'm not going to lie to
you.
I can't believe you believe that.
On the internet.
Whoa. Should we release this episode?
It was my writer that I would not be embarrassed.
I'm going to exercise the clause that says I can explode this episode and we don't have to do this.
Yeah, but I agree. People, like when you look back at graffiti back in the day, it's all dick jokes and
yeah.
like stuff that could be out of, you know, a right. high school locker room now.
Yeah, or yeah. even like people that look back on things in history and try and look at it through a super heteronormative lens when mm-hmm. they're like, oh, like King James had a very best friend that he had a secret like passageway from his bedroom to
oh
his
shit!
Secret
like in the
best
favorite?
Friend's bedroom. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. It was like that for real. And I was researching about this, and the King James Bible was actually made because the church was kind of like getting in his business for yeah. him being pretty openly gay with his lover, and he was like, here's a fun thing that you can do that will distract you. Why don't you make a new Bible? And they were like, yay!
That's amazing.
Got him.
So yeah.
There you go. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. I think it's really overrated to be an expert on everything. Like, there's kind of this, I think it's really cool to say, like, I don't know sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like we are so trained to just, like, make something up to be like, oh, I know everything. I have to be an expert on everything because we live in a world where information so, like, transferred so quickly and
yeah.
so accessible. But, like, that bugs the shit out of me, like when people just cannot say, you know what, I don't know, I don't have enough knowledge about this thing, or like I don't have enough expertise on this thing, so I don't know. And instead it's like, I know everything, I have to know everything. I think that shit is so fucking overrated.
So actual wisdom is very in
yeah
admitting what you don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, because we yeah I think because I think we're such a information heavy era. And everything's so readily available, it almost feels like, well, all you'd have to do is look it up to know. So that we
right.
feel like maybe we feel this pressure that like, well, then maybe I should know everything because I could find out most things instantly.
I do. I think that for me, there's almost kind of, I'm a little hypocritical on it, because if I'm talking to someone like over text, or this was back in the day when I was in law school, over GChat, where if you said something and someone didn't know what you were talking about and they'd be like, what is that? Typing it into the thing with you, and I'd be like, you can just type that
right
into Google.
Here, let me move that 5 inches
yeah.
above this
yeah.
Window for you.
But so I guess like resourcefulness is like important, but mm-hmm. like also if you're not gonna be resourceful about it, don't just make shit up. Just be like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Totally. Yeah, I feel like the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything, right?
And is that a Confucius quote?
No, it's
from Bazooka Joe.
Actually, I think that is like Socrates or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the wise people know how dumb they are or something like that. But and I mean, that even goes to like the fact that you went to law school and like people who get an education, I think a quote I heard about like why a college education is valuable from somebody is that it actually humbles you, like, because you realize,
for sure,
because it you have to like know a lot to realize like that there's just this entire universe of information out
right.
there that you do not
totally.
Know shit about.
Well, like, and even I went to law school and I practiced law for 2 years, and like that I was bad at being a lawyer, and like I like learning that and being like, oh, this is just not for me, because A, I really hate it, and B, like, I'm just not good at this kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, learning that there are things that you're not good at and that's okay is
right.
like, I don't know, I feel like that's as important as learning about
yeah.
empathy.
Yeah. Well, it also helps you sort of come in touch with things that are actually like you are good at, so then you
mm-hmm.
can kind of look at those things and be like, oh, well, I know I'm not, oh yeah. wait, mm-hmm. I actually have these other skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do feel like people are, like, the way that conspiracy theories are I don't know if they're at an all-time high, but they're at least as influential as they've ever been. I feel like people now are more likely to overestimate how much they know than they ever have been. Like,
right.
I think
yes.
we're really bad at knowing what we don't know as a society, and that's probably a result of the internet, and probably says something about our overall wisdom as a culture.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
So we're fucked.
Yeah, we're pretty fucked.
Let's talk about, because we actually get to see what your underrated is, because you filled it in, and it's equally weighty subject. What is something you think is underrated?
Mm-hmm. Wiener schnitzel chili dogs.
Yeah!
I love wiener schnitzel. It's so good. Everyone dunks on it for being the worst fast food chain, but it is so good.
Please,
dude,
help me understand why you love wiener schnitzel.
The chili is salty as shit. The fries are all soggy.
You're
the
like high like, describing it.
Like, congeals. It all becomes like one.
These are all things
horrible
that
mess.
Most people would consider as like medium at best descriptions. Like, not necessarily like the chili is so salty. It's not like
yeah.
something that immediately commends the chili right. to somebody. Oh
yeah.
my God. And the cheese congeals
yeah.
so
right.
nice.
It's like kind of
blood
wet.
Pressure's so high, you'll get a bloody
yeah.
nose, looks like a hose went
yeah, yeah.
Not that's how blood pressure works, but
I do feel very sick after I eat it. It's true. And
like, in what way? Like, just digestively, like, or overall you have like a malaise that comes over you?
The sodium content makes me have heart palpitations.
Oh, wow.
Like, I will feel very, like, my heart will be racing, and I'm just like, ugh.
And you, what do you have for a drink with that? A 64-ounce Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That all tracks.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh,
you. DMD.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, do you really? Are
no,
you a
no,
Diet
no,
Mountain
no. I'm not a DMD.
Oh, like, Jack got excited. He's like, whoa.
Oh, no. One of my best friends. One of my best friends is a
Duke
huge DMD head, and
wow.
she would go through, like,
cases
in college.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Is she a lawyer?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
know
her during that
addict.
Time. I know her now. She
got you. Oh.
Works in marketing.
Got you.
Equally
cool.
fucked up. Well, no, I think.
Are you a DMD head?
I have been at various times in my life. I'm a
Is
recovering
it like
DMD.
When things
DMD
get hard?
Head. Yeah. When things get out of control.
See,
yeah.
you reaching
when
for that
DMD.
When
things go off the rails. Yeah. But I think the Wiener Schnitzel company has some good pull quotes that they can pull from that section, so we can probably move on to your myth. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, for that, it was the chastity belt thing, because that's
oh,
what
right.
I discovered.
Right. How compact your search was.
Was
for
my
a myth.
Myth.
Which,
yeah.
All right. Busted. Well, we can move on to the poor people who named their children after Game of Thrones characters.
Well, I guess before, when we talk about this, because some things could act as a spoiler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess let's just keep it very clear about what's, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe let's move, out of respect. Let's move this to the third act. We're going to talk about the Game of Thrones baby names.
That way we can go in on
yeah,
these people.
Yeah. That way we can really talk about the
some of these
investments.
Shame on you, people.
I'm just going to invest my child's life in the plot of this show and hope that things go well for this character. Let's talk about these Gen Z whippersnappers don't know. So it's not that they don't know, like, that they've never used a rotary phone. It's that they don't even know how to, like, make sense of a rotary phone.
Well, yeah, because they've never seen a rotary phone.
Right.
So there's been, like, this new trend of video. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few. And there's one that got really popular over the weekend of just this adult putting a rotary phone in front of these two young guys. I don't know, maybe late teens or something. And just gave him a phone number and said, I challenge you to dial this phone number and make a call on this rotary phone.
Uh-huh.
And it's, we take for granted, right? Do you know how to use a rotary phone? Rosary phone.
Rosary
Hail Mary,
phone.
Full of grace. Can you dial my
phone and come to my place? You.
Yes. Okay, you know how to use a rotary phone. You're good on the rotary phone.
I think my parents had a rotary phone when I was like, two or three.
Yeah.
Like, I think there was one around the house.
I used to play with one at my grandma's house.
Yeah.
See, that's how I came up on it, because my grandparents had one. They had it but in the late 80s. They were still rocking it. So I'm like, well, I'm fucking around with this.
Yeah.
Anna, do you know how to use a rotary phone? Okay, so we're all good. Dan, okay.
Know.
Everybody
everyone,
knows.
Everyone here knows.
Everyone's
no one's
good.
Feelings are going to get hurt from this
Anna's
video.
Anna's the youngest person I know.
There will be a test where we bring in the phone. Anyway, so these videos are kind of fun because they're not just sort of like, they're not like, you know, aggro, like, look at you, fucking idiot. It's just kind of like this kick we get out of realizing, oh, we have these skills from a bygone era and technology moves so fast. So I just wanted to, just for people who do know how to use a rotary phone, if you're old and washed, listen to this clip, because just hearing these two young men try and figure out the rotary phone just warms my heart.
So you don't stop at this. Oh, just the last one? Because look,
you just successfully dialed zero.
So if this was zero, then
Wait, does the second one watch out? Is this correct?
Zero?
Bring it all the way around and then like, bruh.
Okay, so you can cut it. That receiver hanging up is, first of all, when they're looking at the phone,
it's cute.
They're leaving the receiver the hook, and then because they think it's like a cell phone, you dial the motherfucking number
and
first,
then pick
it up. So then every time they mess up, they're like, restart it. You just lift the receiver up and put it back on. They were even confused by the dial tone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their other videos are like, they're like, what's the, they're like, right. Oh, because y'all are only using cell phones.
And they've never listened to, like, rap albums from prior to the last, like, 10 out.
But I think it's one of those things, if you're not quite connecting it experientially, that could just be, like, an aesthetic choice or something.
Yeah.
Calling it restarting, and the way they got the zero, like bringing that all around, but the other ones they would just kind of half move, like the seven.
They thought it was just like,
I think it just has to go there. And then please look up these videos because they are just so fucking hilarious. And it's, like I said, it's innocent fun.
I didn't watch the whole video to the end. Do they by the end figure it out?
No.
They don't.
They kept getting clues. He's like, you dialed a zero, right?
Yeah.
And then they're really like rubbing their chins like, no, like they were like I don't know, cracking a code for something. I was just dialing a phone.
Yeah. As important as it is to learn all that you don't know, it's even more fun to learn what other people don't know and laugh at them.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know why I really like rotary phones. I think there's something very, I think just the nostalgia of it reminds me of just simpler times.
Yeah. There's something like tactile and like nice about it's not great in emergency.
No. Especially when you watch films like they're in like movies that have the rotary phone in an emergency situation.
Right.
Like,
you have to wait for it to
come back.
God,
why am I dialing international numbers?
All right, let's talk about that celebrity naval cheese as it's being described.
What the fuck is this shit?
I feel like maybe we shouldn't because you seem very upset.
I don't care. Do it.
Okay.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right,
ready.
So
my hands are sweating.
There is an exhibit called Food Bigger Than the Plate, and it's described as a show that, quote, brings together the politics and pleasure of food to ask how the collective choices we make can lead to a more sustainable, just, and delicious food future. Now, one exhibit in this larger exhibit, or one of the pieces in it, is a thing called self-made, where
already,
it's five big blocks of cheese. And the thing about these cheeses, to the untrained eye, five blocks of cheese. No, these are made from the bacteria of celebrities in the UK, from their belly buttons. Okay, and those people are Chef Heston Blumenthal, British rapper Professor Green, Suggs from Madness, the Great British Baking Show's Ruby Tando, and Alex James, the former bassist of Blur. cool.
And okay. He really got that. Also,
interesting collection of people.
Yeah, for us, it's a who's who.
Yeah.
Interesting to get Ruby and not like one of the hosts.
So anyway, the guy from Blur, I guess he's a cheesemaker. So he was kind of like into this whole thing. So what they did was, harnessing the power of microbiology, they had these researchers were collecting the bacteria from these celebrities' noses, armpits, and navel area, their belly button. And then from there, they use a sample to make a starter culture. Remember we're talking about starters, sourdough starters?
Like mothers.
Mothers.
So now they make a starter culture with this bacteria that they then combine with the milk or whatever and let that rock, and then you got your cheese. Mm. And so it wasn't really the point to be like, oh, it's so delicious, but I think just to show people, I think a lot of the people who are behind it from the research side is that people have this sort of negative idea of bacteria, that all bacteria is bad.
Right.
And it was sort of like, no, like there are bacteria responsible for a lot of things that are actually delicious.
Right.
Including this Blur-based cheddar you're chewing on right now.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would probably try it.
Mm-hmm. I'll try it.
Yeah, I would try it. But like, and knowing that it's just like the bacteria, which then is used to create
a culture. Yeah.
I don't know what I thought it was, but in theory, it's much grosser.
If you heard the words navel cheese, and we're not talking about rations that are given out to sailors.
Submarines.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're just thinking of massive accumulation of dead skin or just sweat and other shit.
I like
and then turn into a block that you slice and then eat deliciously.
Why?
But would you eat it, Jack? You can eat it? Would you
try
it?
Yeah, I don't.
What flavor would you try?
This doesn't bother me
cheddar?
At all. I would probably try Ruby from the Great British Baking Show's whatever cheese she produced.
I think it was a Taleggio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice.
Because she is the only person who I'm vaguely familiar with what she does. So
I mean,
I feel like I can trust her navel nose. So inside their nose, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's more, I guess it's really more than just your belly button. I mean, it's not and BO at your belly button and now turn into a cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, cause even with me with cheese, I like stinky fucking cheese.
Me too.
I want to eat a fucking petting zoo.
Like hurt me. With
also, like when you think about where that bacteria comes from, anyway, where does it? We don't know. Like a bacteria is tiny. If let just say like you just buy some like whatever Sargento or something.
Yeah.
Like you don't know where that like the original like.
I'm sure, look, Zeitgang, if you're cheesemongers, please tell us what the origins of cheese bacteria are. Because we're a show where we admit we don't know a fucking thing.
Yeah.
True.
So flood my mentions. Because, thank you to all the coffee gang that came out when we were doing hand ground versus electric ground.
Turns out electric ground burns the beans, guys.
Yeah.
Whereas hand ground, it like just kind of grinds them up.
No heat transfer.
Yeah.
Oh, is this like cold press
versus? The oil is still there.
Well, for the few people who are like very polite about it, they're like, look, if you don't have a palate for like really good coffee, like it really doesn't matter. But if you're dealing with like more acidic, like nicer shit, then you might like that. But I get the zen part, too. A lot of people said it's the zen aspect of hand grinding.
130 revolutions every morning, like of the grinder
someone said
to get their pour over.
Yeah.
So that's 130 like turns around the thing to get one pour over's worth of coffee.
Yeah.
So they're grinding the shit out of that.
But that's a good,
That's a lot of work that I do not have the calmness of mind.
And it wasn't until I was rolling a blunt over the weekend that I realized, I don't like pre-rolled shit. I like to do it myself because there's a meditative aspect to
the ritual.
Doing precision roll and getting the nice shape to it and seal. So you know what? To the hand ground gang, I salute you. Mm-hmm. But it's not for me because I don't know enough about coffee.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And it's time for Miles to explain the trade war to
more
me.
More trade wars.
I do not.
Well, I mean.
I don't get it.
There's not much to get.
Quote Josh Baskin.
There isn't. I mean, okay, so China announced $60 billion in new tariffs on U.S. goods. You know, retaliatory tariffs because Trump upped them last week.
That's a big figure.
Yeah.
Big number.
And because of that, threw the U.S. markets off. The Dow like lost like 600 points. Bow, just like that.
Yeah.
And most people are like, what the fuck is, who is this helping exactly? Because all the time, if you believe the president, he's out here saying, oh, you're going to love it. China. China's given us billions of dollars directly to our pockets. We're getting so much money off this deal. You're going to love it.
That
so,
seems fake.
Well, right. Because that's
not
how.
Yeah, no, that wasn't Trump. Right. That was Miles doing a Trump impression.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Right. Oh, see, I thought he was here.
Yes. No.
Yeah, no, it's this gets confusing sometimes. That's how good Miles is Trump impression.
That's how bad my hair is. So, so when you look at the actual way the tariffs work, you know, like this idea that somehow he's just saying like, China, cut me a check for $50 billion.
And they were like, okay.
Or that's what,
that's like insane.
The way he's describing it.
Yeah.
But really, the tariffs are placed on the goods that are imported from China, even goods that are made by United States companies that are manufacturing over there. That just means that it's the importers who have to pay the money on that, not China. There's, you know, so if it's Costco and you want your chicken bakes, they're going to be like, oh, my man, these are from, or, you know, whatever, a product coming from China. They're saying, well, this is the tax Costco has to pay to bring this into the country.
Right.
Not the check the Chinese government saying, oh, we'll give you this money to get our goods into your markets. That's what the importers are paying. And then those taxes are like that markup on the goods eventually trickles down to the consumer because they raise the prices to offset the taxes they have to pay to bring in the goods into the market. For example, I tried to buy a new sink recently and I found like some, you know, like off brand shit. You know, I spend a lot of money because it looked good. It was coming from China. On one day, they said it was one price. When I came in there, it like gone up 30%. I said, yo, I just talked to you. And they're like, the fucking tariffs that we have to pay to bring it in. And I'm like,
hitting our own Miles Gray in the pocket.
Right in the pocket. So now I'm bathing out of a bucket. Because
you bathe in the sink?
Yeah. Wow. What do you mean?
That's very like movie of
you. Oh, do you use that? Do you use that giant sink to bathe in?
Yeah, yeah. You mean the bathtub? Yeah.
Or I don't know. I was raised calling that the giant sink.
There are three sinks in a bathroom. Sink.
Yeah.
And then
the one you sit on.
No, that's the face washing sink.
Right. You wash your face with a bidet.
Splash it up. And then you rest your head in that little hoop.
That's for sleeping.
But anyway, so again, for people to even believe that this is somehow meaning that China's cutting America's check is absurd, preposterous, mendacious, and is terrible is not true. That's just how he's spinning it to get people to believe that this is something good. And when you look at who it's hitting consumers and especially rural areas fucking hard. Which brings me more to kind of why I'm talking about the trade war shit is because it's hitting his voting block of rural voters very, very hard. And when you sort of look at how sort of loyal they are as Trump voters to this president, his approval ratings are always positive, especially in rural areas. And you look at the policies he's enacting, they are like existential threats to these areas.
Yeah.
So when we look at even soybean farmers, right, a lot of their exports are going to China, but that went kaput because China's like, oh, you want to bang in some trade wars? How about I cut you off? We're not exporting, we're not importing anymore of your agricultural goods. And then also even things like, I mean, so that has had a knock-on effect. There's like record bankruptcy, farm bankruptcies right now, and all the export numbers are just plummeting for these farmers. So then Trump is trying to offset that damage that he's done with the trade wars by now by floating this another proposal to get $15 billion in subsidies to help the farmers who are struggling.
Right.
So it's like you created this fucking problem that the consumers are even paying for through these higher prices on consumer goods. And then now the taxpayer is going to pay the $15 billion subsidy bill that's going to help farmers based on your own like it's just we're self-owning constantly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just this really, really terrible cycle.
I mean, it sort of ties back to what we learned about Trump last week when the New York Times got access to those 10 consecutive years of tax returns, that he was really good at the politics of it, of making a big splash and getting his name out there and convincing people using his PR strategy of just flooding the zone, that he's a rich person. Well, but he was historically bad at actually having any effect on markets or understanding of market economy. His understanding of this, that you would just, you know, put the money on, like put the money there and it would go, like we would start getting the money, just fundamentally misunderstands like how the economy works.
Right.
But it seems like maybe he's always had that misunderstanding.
Must be.
I think he always has, for sure.
I mean, because he lost more money than anyone.
Yeah.
Like any business person. He's the worst business person in the world.
Well, and even when Gary Cohn was running with like, on the working with him, he was like, what the fuck is this guy? Doesn't even understand like the stock market.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I gotta go, bro. I'm trying to rape and pillage the earth with my corporatocracy. Yeah. And like, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Like the other thing too is these rural areas, again, like I say, there are so many things that are happening right now, especially like a lot of rural communities are contracting because there's a lot of out migration and a lot of automation and these other things have just caused these industries to shrink. And there's been no viable like economic plan B for these areas. So they're just slowly, slowly withering away. And yet those voters are becoming very are amongst his more vocal supporters. Mm-hmm. And they're the people who buy into the shit like, oh, it's immigrants who are using up all the federal aid.
The culture war.
Yeah. Or it's they're the reason why like this farming community is dying or my area is not prospering. And again, just look at all the policies, right? Even the tax cut that Trump enacted. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, this is great. Great for everybody. But the agricultural department, recently had a bunch of economists leave because they're like, we feel like we're being punished for actually analyzing the policies, and you're getting mad because we're saying they're doing damage to the economy. Like, there was an up, like a just a walkout, basically, of like the thinkers at the agricultural department. Anyway, those same economists, they were saying like, look, which is one of the reasons why they got the, they were sort of pressured to leave, or just more, you know, were on the receiving end of their anger, was showing that when it came to those tax reductions, most of those benefits went to the richest 10% of farms. And most of the poor farmers are actually struggling. They saw a slight increase in their taxes.
Right.
So even then you're looking like, yo, that doesn't help me. Okay. What about these other things? Like when you talk about all the safety net programs that Trump is trying to slash, like fighting back against Medicare or Medicaid expansion and things like that. Those are programs that rural communities rely very heavily on. And like 85 of the top 100 counties who receive food stamps are in rural areas. Right. So they are the recipients of this aid that they so desperately need, but are buying up this narrative that, oh, man, it's these brown people, it's these welfare queens.
It's a combination of so many things, right? It's like, first of all, he's selling this idea of like the American dream, and that he's done it, and that he's a, quote, self-made billionaire or whatever. And then that kind of, you tell these people like, hey, you can be like me, even though I'm actively making it so that you will never be, quote, like me, even though I'm not even that successful, whatever. Right. So it's like that. And then it's like, that's like the carrot. And then the stick is like, oh, but, you know, these brown people are, you know, fucking you over. Really, it's me, the one who's fucking you over, like I said, because you'll never be able to be like me.
Right.
So it's kind of, it's just like, it's this poisonous fucking cycle that's just getting worse every day.
Well, yeah, and it's but it's like precisely that sort of like late stage capitalism thing where people are like, I think this is going fine, and I'm not actually I'm actually completely unaware that corporate entities are at the levers of power at every level of government, and everything is done to either privatize or take away these safety net programs to essentially create more profits for the private sector, and create more capital,
I mean, who would have predicted that somebody who ran a Ponzi scheme of a university that like scammed poor people out of money would, by promising them the American dream, would be a bad president?
Right.
Would be bad at this sort of thing.
Well, and it's interesting because now, you know, eventually, we always talk about how reality will end up at their doorstep where you realize, I'm totally fucked now. But at that point, it's going to be too late for everybody to get these people to realize like what's actually happening. But it's interesting when you look at, there was a focus group that was happening in Sioux City, Iowa, of Obama-Trump voters, people who voted for Obama and then Trump. Like all but one of the people in this focus group said they would have, if there were a do-over, they would have voted for Hillary. But then on top of it, they were pointing to things that were policy points like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders type policies that they really liked. But when they were saying, like, if they were asked about the Democrats who were talking about it, they were, like, put off a little bit. But they were pointing to very, very progressive things. Like, why aren't we taxing big banks more? Like, and they're making money off of us. Or 8 out of the 11 people that were in this group were saying, like, they knew somebody or they themselves were struggling with debt or student debt. And it was having a very negative impact. They're saying, like, we need debt relief in these areas. So it's one of those things where, I mean, the master manipulator Trump could come in and get these voters to be like, hey, I want to do something about student debt or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and like we saw how, you know, he was such a champion for the people as he took office. But also like a way, you know, but there we're starting to see those needs come to the forefront of a lot of these voters' priorities. So, you know, it's interesting to watch that evolve. But
do they have any specific complaints about Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders? Or they're just like, we just don't like
them. They're too left. Is that what they think? They're just like, oh, I don't like.
Some didn't know any, like the only people they had heard of that were even running were Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. And then from there, they just sort of had that partisan thing. I don't think no one was actually quite putting their finger on it. They didn't just weren't feeling it because it was coming from a Democrat.
Sure.
Although they're describing the policies of a lot of the candidates.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then now, how much does partisanship, I mean, obviously partisan politics has played a huge role, but I wonder at what point do people begin to just take the policies for what they are and say, like, I would actually benefit directly from that. And that doesn't make me a cuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Right.
Your derogatory term of choice.
Well, you know, for the right, they're like, fucking snowflake, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Should we talk more about people on the right just getting hoodwinked?
Yes.
All right. So there was this on a smaller scale, basically the same thing on a smaller scale. There was a GoFundMe to build the wall. And it was, you know, it was a big deal at the time. It was when, you know, obstructionist Democrats were blocking Trump from being able to build his wall and save America when there was a giant caravan coming to take our kids away.
Are you reading one of my old tweets?
And it turns out that this thing that was, you know, basically exploiting what was already a lie, meant to exploit people's highly agitated and emotional state, was totally legitimate. And we should all be investing our money in it.
I mean, they raised $20 million.
Damn.
In this, around December when the thing launched, and everyone's like, oh my, wow.
So how are their financials looking on that project?
Well, look, first up, I just want to say this had, to me, looked like bullshit from the beginning. And I think most people who aren't straight up Trumpists, you're like, yeah, you're going to give your money to some private company who's going to build on federal land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, the left falls for bullshit like this all time. Well, so I don't want to make it seem like we're criticizing the right.
They're idiots.
Especially.
All I'm saying is I'm the smartest motherfucker ever.
Right.
That's all.
I think you saw it coming.
I saw it coming. Mm-hmm. And I also am waiting for my gift because I did donate at the $1,000 level.
I want a brick with your name
on it. Yeah, they said I could scratch my name in one of the bricks.
Yeah.
But you have to scratch it.
Yeah. They said I get to go to the groundbreaking. But anyway, but it had all the things that would draw in a lot of gullible conservatives who were so heavily invested in this idea of the wall. Like you had, like the dimensions of it were an appeal to the right's love of xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
You had the fucking libs who said the wall couldn't or shouldn't be built. Now you're like, oh yeah, I'm putting money so it gets built, fucking guy. And then notable board members like Steve Bannon, Eric Blackwater Prince, Sheriff Clark,
right,
Chris Kobach, and even Kurt Schilling.
Right.
So it had everybody. And the man behind it, right, is this triple amputee war veteran by the name of Brian Colphage. And again, just looking at the stats, has no experience in construction project of this size or even logistical projects of this size. He has also been caught before cheating people out of like donating to sham veterans charities that were really just going to him.
Yeah, but when you read the opening paragraph of the Build a Wall website, you really understand why these people were taken in. Let's go through. My name is Brian Colphage. Mm-hmm. I have a verified blue check Facebook page as a public figure, and I'm a Purple Heart recipient, triple amputee veteran.
Boom. I believe this person.
Mm. Right. I have a verified blue check Facebook page.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Facebook page.
Like a majority of those American citizens who voted to elect President Donald J. Trump, we voted for him to make America great again.
Is that all caps?
Well, he capitalized the MAGA, the M-A-G-A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the
M-A-G-A.
Yeah.
Okay.
President Trump's main campaign promise was to build the wall. Mm-hmm. Those were all caps.
Okay,
all caps.
Okay.
And as he's followed through on just about every promise so far, this wall project needs to be completed still. So he starts out by saying, and as he's followed through on just about every promise so far, this wall project needs to be completed still.
Okay.
So that
AP
there.
Literature.
Okay. Well, no.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Get out the MLA handbook.
I just feel like, and as we would think that he would then say the wall has also been finished.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, it's just.
Oh, that was your impression of me. Being a
no, I was on your side. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to help you anymore,
sir. Next, as a veteran who has given so much, three limbs, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge him that at all. I feel deeply invested to this nation to ensure future generations have everything we have today. Too many Americans have been murdered by illegal aliens, and too many illegals are taking advantage of the United States taxpayers with no means of ever contributing to our society.
There's that myth, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
them. It's yep. them people.
So, get scared.
Yeah. Well, especially, too, recently the New York Times just put out a really in-depth study about how that illegal immigrants are not the cause of increased crime like whatsoever.
No.
Like,
and illegal immigrants are like some of the most law-abiding people right. in our country.
And yeah. even if it's, I mean, sadly, it's a New York Times, so no conservative will be like, yeah, okay. Yeah. The failing New York Times
yeah.
just
yeah.
pulled up some data that's been verified by the law. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, right, there it is. He has a blue check Facebook page.
Yeah.
I trust him.
Yeah, enough said.
Yeah. okay, where do I send my
Why
money?
Why did he even say anything else?
Alarm bells? No, for anybody? Okay. But so anyway, when they raised that $20 million, even when he looked at the GoFundMe thing, the way it was described, he said his, quote, highly experienced team is highly confident that we can complete significant segments of the wall in less time and for less money than the federal government while meeting or exceeding all required regulatory, engineering, and environmental specifications.
Right.
That sounds highly suspicious.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many questions. It's just like, how do you think that?
Well, right. But even if you ask the next logical question is, oh, okay, so what parts are y'all going to build?
Right, right.
When people were asking specifically, he's like, oh, you know, I can't really say because the libs, the ACLU are going to just like find out and ruin everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then even it's like, oh, we're looking at parts in Arizona. Like there were people in Arizona who pointed out, even in the on the right, they're like, but a lot of this land is federally owned.
Yeah.
Right.
So like how this isn't private land or just building on.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you're still going to like how?
Yeah. You would have to buy land, right, to build on that
right.
lawfully.
Yeah. Unless like the government is contracting with you. But
right.
But I don't
which
think
they are not. So.
Yeah, I don't think people are like,
the
hey,
whole point
wanna,
of this yeah. is that the government is not.
That it. You know, and yet he has not done it yet, right?
Right.
What was that sentence? As yet, he has not
completed all of these. Yeah. He has
every
yet
promise
to
so far. This wall project needs to be completed. Still,
right?
Still.
So
I love when people finish a sentence still. With "still."
Yeah, well, it's very conversational. So yeah, we're in May. They said mm-hmm. they were going to probably break ground in April.
Okay.
Right.
He went on the radio because they're like, "Hey, people are getting antsy. Like
yeah.
this thing happened in December. We haven't heard anything. Oh yeah, April. We're in May now."
Mm-hmm.
And like these reports are coming up to like, yeah, what happened here, my man?
Where
yeah.
is he? I wonder.
I don't know. I think he's laughing his ass off with
yeah,
$20 million
with,
somewhere.
$20 million.
And still insists that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But, you know.
I mean, it builds on a myth that I grew up with, like as a person who can remember like part of the Cold War, that anything that has like bureaucracy involved, so the government, mm-hmm. anything that's government-based mm-hmm. is going to be completely inherently inefficient. And if you just give the money to private sector people,
right.
they're going to be able to do it really easily. And I've like it very recently, like within the past 10 years, only started like kind of getting under the skin of that myth and realizing, oh, that's actually not true. Like
right.
a lot of really valuable works of progress have come out of government programs, like
mm-hmm.
more than have come out of the private sector. So,
yeah. Like
yeah.
redlining.
But it, right, exactly. My favorite one. You brought up my favorite one.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, this is also just an example of how desperate a lot of Trump voters are in general. Like they're chasing this, like, all sparkly, pearly white future by any means. And I guess that even means hitching your wagon to this fantasy
mm-hmm.
of this wall.
Well, it's such a natural like continuation of what got people even voting for Trump in the first place, which is just like vague pronouncements of like, I'm going to make things better mm-hmm. and like othering and then nothing.
Right.
Right.
And people just being like, well, I'll get on board with that because you're going to make America great again and you're going to mm-hmm. build a wall
yeah.
and whatever. So
build a wall, build a bear.
I do wonder if he's going to continue to be able to do that with like there being no results in the 2020 election.
I don't
like,
know. That's going to be a weird one.
It's going to be interesting.
That the wall shit's die. He hasn't really talked about that in a minute.
Yeah. I feel like he's kind of let that simmer on, in the back. He's like, I can't really
like,
talk
I think
on
they
that.
I forgot about that one.
Like, hoping that it just disappears in the air.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And, shit. The Sixers.
Oh, I thought you had an accident.
Yeah. We gotta leave. Everyone's gotta leave the room right now.
Oh, God.
He had three cups of coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Up until now.
Tough weekend.
What happened?
Sorry. I think a lot of people who follow sports probably watched Game 7 of the Eastern Conference second round to see who was going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and play Milwaukee. I've mentioned on the show before, my dad is a coach for the Sixers. He's on the bench.
He's not starting?
He's not starting.
Damn.
Sits on the bench, much shorter than Joel Embiid.
Okay.
But not as short as you think, based on seeing him next to 7 foot tall people all the time.
Most people think my dad's short.
He's fucking tall.
This is why
bro.
You brought up the Napoleon thing.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
much
exactly.
Like Napoleon, my dad is of average height.
I think it's a myth. Yeah, he's laid back and tall.
But yeah, so this was a terrible loss, and
yeah, for the uninitiated or people who just don't give a fuck about it, the NBA, what happened was very, very heartbreaking to watch. Mm. I'm not invested in the series whatsoever, mm-hmm. aside from just knowing the stress that Jack goes through whenever the Sixers are playing on any given day in the postseason.
Yeah.
You have many rituals. You don't like to watch games live.
I do not
you
like
don't.
To watch. So I started these playoffs. This is something that I just started doing, these playoffs. But they lost game one of their first round series and played so badly that I was like literally depressed for like a day.
Oh my God.
And so I started just not watching the games. I haven't even told my family this, but it's kind of
well, yeah, hold on, let's create a space.
Yeah. But like I don't know. I didn't want to be like a shitty person to be around based on the outcome right. of a game when I have like two kids, you know, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, like that's not fair to them. So anyways, I started just checking the score after the game was over, like just doing something tunnel vision during the games. And then if they won, I would watch the replay. And if they lost, I would not put myself through the bullshit.
You just draw a bath.
And anyways, this is all to say, I decided Sunday was the game to watch live. tough one. It's actually not. I'm glad I watched it live, even though the ending was a complete gut punch because...
Dagger
might be the last time we get to see these guys play together because the Sixers are... I don't want to get into like specifics of players, but anyways, it's just a... It's probably the closest I've been to a big zeitgeisty moment, and I can't really talk knowledgeably about it because it...
Well, we'll say
it
this.
It hurts, man.
It was game seven, so the
My
winner
dad's
goes...
My tall, okay?
I don't know, and he's really laid back. He's like a stoner.
He's
we get
really
it.
Cool.
It was game seven. Mm-hmm. Winner goes to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Tied game. Mm. Seconds left. Mm. And you're like, this might go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi Leonard, I think it was the very first game seven buzzer beater in postseason, right? I think it has that distinction. It's one of the first Game 7 buzzer beaters. I might be wrong. Fact check me on that.
It's probably the first that bounced five times on the rim before going in.
And it was a very tense moment because I watched being like, oh, damn, like this is a good game. And I was like, maybe Jax, I don't know if he's watching. And then I saw the shot. It was like bouncing for like felt like minutes.
Really?
Enough that even like Joel Embiid went out of bounds. He had time to like reset his feet and then peer
come back in
from
back
around
really?
The baseline
watch
to
it
see
go
like
in.
Is it going in?
Yeah,
and it does. And look, if you don't, we'll cut to the night the fun part. Okay.
Yes.
Because obviously it was a moment where everyone was like in disbelief. They can't believe he's done it. But the commentary from the Korean broadcast is by far one of the most energetic versions. And even if you didn't see it, you can tell from their voices what's happening. So just envision an inbounds play, a shot's thrown up, and it's bouncing, 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 bouncing. The buzzer goes off, and then it drops. So listen to the Korean commentary.
So take that elation
and reverse it.
Flip that.
Flip it and reverse
it.
It's your ferment to plant.
Let's talk about somebody else who had a bad Sunday. Let's talk about people who... okay, so we're going to do some spoilers here?
Yeah. We're talking. So look,
so if Game of Thrones spoilers coming.
This is your warning. I'm going to give you time. If you're exercising or something, get to your thing. Skip it, pause it, whatever. But if you're ready to go in, it's time to go in.
5, 4, 3, 2. All right. And we're going to talk about somebody who had a bad Sunday also. And that's anybody who named their daughter Khaleesi. In 2018, there are 560 such people in America, I guess.
Yes. All from the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, so this is all from Social Security. Khaleesi went off in not a good way.
Well, I guess first let's just talk about the names because I think it's an interesting story. Apparently this has been a trend that's been like upwardly trending since 2014, steady Game of Thrones character names.
George R. R. Martin's good at making up fake names.
Fantastic. The highest one is Arya, but they note that that is a name used internationally, so that's not, that doesn't really count. 2500.
And I like there, I've known people named Arya before that, and
right.
So then is the next most popular name is Khaleesi, 560 children. That is a fucking weird name.
That is a weird name. It's a pretty name. Like it those is? Are I think those are a pretty combination
it's
of
pretty.
Sounds.
You know
it's
why? Like, I hear it in Dothraki in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't think of like a Western or a Westerosi version of like Khaleesi. It's like Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
Yeah. Khaleesi. You don't like that? But it's just a lot of chips to put on a character in a show that is not complete.
What I was just going to say, like, if you're going to name your kid after somebody in a show, wait until the show's over.
Right.
Because you don't know.
Yeah. Right.
And these people aggressively did not know.
Yes.
No, they did not know. Just a few other ones. Yara was the next most popular one. I like that, 434.
Yeah, I like Yara.
Then Lyanna.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Daenerys. There's a pretty steep fall off. Lyanna has 319. Then the next closest one is Daenerys with 163. Daenerys, I could see that.
Yeah.
Really?
More than Khaleesi.
You don't like
Khaleesi,
I can see
Daenerys. Daenerys more than Khaleesi.
Yeah, Daenerys sounds like kind of like a fly name.
Well, and also because Khaleesi is not her name. It
means
queen.
Right.
So to me, I'm like, I don't know. To me, that's not.
after made-up character. Like, this is my son, King Koopa.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
it's like naming your son, like, King of the North or something.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
It's very...
Well, a couple people... I'm just going down to some of the lesser names. Someone named their kid Benjen.
Yeah.
Benjen?
That's not
uncle?
A good... Yeah, that's not a good name. No matter how you look at that, unless like your mother's name is Jennifer and your father's name is Ben,
right? Ben
is that
Jen?
Better?
Then you're Benjen,
right?
Better? I don't know. It sounds like the very most egotistical naming you could do. Right. It's like, well, you know, we didn't want Junior,
right?
Yeah.
So we did Benjen,
and nobody uses our celeb like couple name, so we're gonna try and get that wave started by naming them Benjen.
My name's Ben McCaffrey. Right. She's Jennifer Saunders.
I think there's only...
Wait, that's from Absolutely Fabulous.
I think there's only some of these names that you can guarantee are a result of Game of Thrones. Or at least that the parents can't then come in and be like, no, it's a family name, or it's, you know, we decided to spell Caitlin Catlin.
Right.
Because, you know... You
I mean, that's
just...
already something white people do all the time, which is like take an Irish name and fuck
flip
the spelling. Yeah.
I think Khaleesi's one you just can't get away from.
Right.
No.
That's the thing.
Khaleesi, Daenerys. Is... I feel like you can't.
Tyrion. How many Tyrions?
So.
Jorah.
Yeah, Jorah's kind of
really?
Specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jorah's up there.
Jorah.
But anyway, I guess, look. So now let's just get what happened in the show.
So.
Do we like what we saw?
I don't.
Let's go around.
I think the reaction has been extremely like negative in a way that I'm not on board with. So I'm like annoyed by the reaction to the episode, like because I think people are confusing an unpleasant turn of events in a show that specializes in those
right.
with being bad writing. Like people are mad. Like I saw a tweet where somebody was like, wait, so I refuse to believe the writing is so bad that they'd let Cersei die in the arms of a loved one after all that buildup. And it's like, I don't think that's bad writing. That's like giving the characters not necessarily the deaths they deserved. And like, we've found that deserve is not what, you don't get what you deserve in the Game of Thrones universe. And like, the more they got away from that and the more it was like about like creating these heroic arcs, the less I was on board with the show. So the fact that they then took a character that people were, you know, standing and like rooting for and, you know, had her just kind of go insane. I like that they went dark with it. You know, then we can talk about like whether it was earned or not. And I know there's a lot of controversy on that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel, Kelly? How do you feel?
Thanks so much for asking.
Yes, yes. There's tissues right there.
Oh, thank you. There really are.
Yeah, I know. We planned this.
I feel like people. I'm trying not to cry. I feel like people that were like, "Oh, Dany was never like. I can't believe that she is doing this." First of all, I'm like, have you not been watching the damn show?
She's been burning people up.
She's been burning people up from the get go. And here's the other like, I do agree. I don't know. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So people that say that there's no reason that she should be the Mad Queen, I feel like haven't been watching the show because she has been someone who is rageful and angry and burns her enemies. It's just that she's always been right and we've always agreed with her up until this point.
Yeah.
Right.
So she, yes, did she create like a miles and miles long road filled with the crucified corpses of slavers? Yes. Mm-hmm. But we agreed with her.
Those were slavers.
Those were slavers, and we agreed with her. And then up until this point, she has been basically, she's still kind of right in that people are betraying her.
Mm-hmm.
Varys betrayed her. Jon essentially betrayed her. She feels completely alone, and she still feels that she is the rightful ruler. And I feel like even in the world of Game of Thrones, a person that's like, I am the destined ruler, is kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think you can still like her because she, up until this point, you can still say, oh, well, Dany was my favorite character. She wasn't my favorite character. I didn't really like her that much. But you can say, oh, I liked because she was very headstrong, because she, I liked that she was rageful and I liked that she kind of fucked people over with her dragons. Fine. I feel like I totally agree that people are angry that she did something that they didn't like. And they're like, that's bad writing. And right. when they're like, oh, Cersei didn't deserve to die, you know, just by being crushed to death by rubble or whatever.
Right.
But I'm like, dude, the issue that I had with the deaths that happened in the Battle of Winterfell and coming up was that they were a little too writerly. Oh, this person dies finally after achieving redemption. Right. Oh, how lucky for them.
Right,
right.
And I feel like if The Wire had come out during a time when we're on Twitter, people would have been like, oh, I can't believe, spoilers for The Wire, that like Omar gets killed by just a kid in a convenience store.
Right.
But it's like, honestly, if this episode, in the most recent episode, if Arya had died, I would have screamed for days and days and days. But if she had just been killed by like a falling rock, I would have been like, well.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
Right.
So
Sandor told you to get your ass out of there.
He did.
He said, girl, I'm about to die here.
And yeah. I will say, that fucking fight was tight as shit. That was beautiful.
Clegane Bowl was the thing. Ugh. I guess just to sort of complete the thoughts about what happened. I think with the show, right, Daenerys felt like a righteous character because she was always fucking up people who deserved it, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, I think people began to see that as like a certain value system she had of like, oh yeah, she just does away with evil. Rather than she uses fire as like a arbitration tool.
Yeah. Right?
That's how she fucking gets down. And then when it comes to this thing, yeah, it's very jarring because I think people put a lot of it like, oh, this person is just and like maybe aggressive, but ultimately they always do right. And I think for that turn, I think almost made people, they lost their hero. And I think it was very jarring. I was just like, look, she's been doing this.
Yeah.
She doesn't really show mercy all the time to her enemies. And I get it. I think that maybe the writing was a little wonky in that they could have presented her evolution towards going there. Like if her second dragon got killed at the top of this episode, I would have been like, oh, now we can kind of see this progression go on.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not really upset. Because also after the Winterfell shit, I'm kind of like,
yeah,
I thought everyone should have died. Okay, that was just my take. But Clegane Bowl made everything right for me. Because I didn't care. I was like, fine, whatever. Cersei gets crushed, all good. Euron, you know, and all that. Fantastic. But Clegane Bowl had some of the best fucking moments. Like
Cersei just tiptoeing out of the way.
Love when
what's his name? Qyburn?
Qyburn.
Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious.
Yo, when he gets his dome just fucking rattled.
Yeah.
Disrespectful. Like he had
twice.
Yeah, just bonk, yeah, first bonk. On the wall. And then somehow he threw his ass so hard when his head hit, it was like a rotten pumpkin on November 15th.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. And then to see Cersei be like, oh, I'm just going to scoot on out of here.
Yeah.
And I was talking with Dan, that shot of the dragon coming by and blowing the fire, and they were just so locked in on each other.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this Clegane Bowl, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was just so fucking great. And even when the Hound is just that last minute, just like fucking die.
Yes.
The best shit.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love that part.
I loved that part.
Yeah. It's the thing that you keep expecting characters in like slasher movies to say that they never say. So it's funny to have a character be like, why won't you fucking die?
He's like, I stabbed you straight through your midsection every time you're just eating up these stabs.
And like in the neck like 30 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feeling too, like that, like of them fighting while the world is kind of crumbling around them. It had kind of this like gothic feel to it, which was really cool. And I think I'm stealing this from someone compared it to Bloodborne, which I don't know if either of you guys have played that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just had that kind of like weird, kind of like dark, like Victorian feel to it. I don't know. It was really interesting.
It was like very atmospheric. I thought the whole thing with the whole end of the, you know, I guess it was like almost a half hour, 45 minutes where she's flying around just destroying the city was like really atmospherically like very cool, like what you know, from a visual standpoint, I thought it was cool, and from a like mood perspective, it was just like a weird, eerie way for it to just be happening in like broad daylight, and she's just like methodically going like that. There was something very like nihilist and just fucked up about that, but also like kind of beautiful. And there's been these moments in the show where somebody feels a dragon like go overhead or like has a shadow go over them and they like look up and they're just like so awe-inspired and terrifying.
Right.
Like this kind of retrospectively made me like, dragons.
Right, dragons.
Because somebody on The Ringer recap was pointing out that this is how all the great wars have ended up to this point. It's like they just kill everybody with a dragon, and
right.
and that's ball game. And I also want to say, like, I don't begrudge people not being totally on board with this episode. I think a good way to distinguish it is, like, if you would have been mad during the Red Wedding, if you would have been like, oh, this is bullshit, you know,
right.
then I don't know.
That's what them Thrones do.
Right,
to you,
that, yeah. that's what Game of Thrones, or when the mountain killed your boy.
Right. It's just one of those things. It's like anything, right? The show has so many of these different elements and themes that there's no way to objectively be like, that was a good episode.
Right.
Because everyone brings their own shit into it, and especially with this one. Like, the audience has now become the adjudicator of a lot of these characters' mm-hmm. fates, or they're like, well, Cersei's going to have to die like this.
Yeah.
This is going to have to happen like this, or I'm fucking mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get, you know, I'm a fan of shit too, and I've been disappointed by endings, but as I grow older, I'm like, yo, there's too much other shit going on in the world for me to get locked in on that. But I can tell that was sort of what's happening, is that everyone is bringing their own versions of how it needs to end for mm-hmm. them, and when it runs counter to that, it's very upsetting because you get so invested in these characters.
Yeah.
And like, a lot of the times I was enduring Cersei's shit because I'm like, well, she's going to get hers.
Right.
Best believe that. So I don't have to feel like, oh, but when you get it, you're going to get it. And I think mm-hmm. for her to just suddenly have this like weird come to Jesus moment, she's like, oh, I'm so scared.
Right.
And then just like crushed. I think most people probably wouldn't wanted to see her like, you know, drawn and quartered or something.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And here, the show is by no means perfect, and I have issues with the show for sure. There are things that I'm like, really? We're gonna
mad slave armies?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, cool.
Disposable
All the brown people
armies?
Are gonna die for these people that we know are racist.
Like, right, yeah.
cool. Or, you know, like the stuff with Sansa saying the thing about
the little bird, yeah.
Oh god.
Right. That rape was a character building
exercise. Yeah. That was like not great. But like the issues that I feel like a lot of people are having with this episode, I'm like, I don't know. I just don't agree. But I do think maybe they could have. I mean, we're seeing that they should have like hit the whole like Danny's going crazy thing a little harder throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That being said, I was fine with it.
Yeah. My only complaint would be that they like had it turn on whether John fucked her or not. Like whether it's
you
just
cannot
like,
tell me that dick is that good. He's right. so boring.
I know.
He's so boring.
I feel like he was always like, he'd probably be squinting during sex. Like, oh, is this good, my queen?
Yeah, right. I feel like he'd constantly be like, is this good? Like,
yeah.
like are you there yet?
Are you right? All right, let me know, because I'm, okay, never mind. And all that just because he didn't want to mouth kiss his aunt.
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously, like the fact that she was like, then it will be fear off of that felt a little, I don't know. I would have liked it better if we didn't have that explicit, like, explanation or that explicit, like, turning point, but I don't know.
We'll see, you know, we got one more.
Yeah.
And then we will be freed.
Yeah, and I think I think it's fine to like go on and have your quick like knee jerk observation, but I feel like we should give shows like a little bit of time to sink in. Like
before. Yeah, but there are also moments I see it from the writing. I'm like, yo, y'all could have been doing this a lot sooner, and this didn't have to, because it suddenly turned into like the action is coming so quick, and they're having to jam so much shit that they did so much nuanced storytelling in the prior seasons that like. When you got to moments, you're like, damn, I can add up all this other shit I saw on the way here. And this one's just sort of like, no, we got it. Hey, come on, man. We only got this room for another 2 hours before the next party comes in.
You can feel that. You can feel that, like, there are X many episodes left. Like, with every episode, it feels very like, uh-oh, only, shit, we have one left.
Right.
Oh, we should have done that in the prior.
Get it done.
Yeah. Okay, fuck it. She'll just fucking burn the city down. Fuck it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this reminded me of the time when I found out the Night King was bad. I was like, fuck, you got to be kidding me.
I thought he was chill.
That guy's so chill.
Man of little words.
Yeah, he wore cute crop tops and had cute crowns on.
Yeah.
And that little baby he made all cute and stuff. All right. Well, Kelly, it has been such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, listen to you?
Well, thank you so much for having me, guys.
No, people normally don't do that.
Really?
That's very polite. You know what? You're an all-star.
I'm the best. You can find me on social media at Kelly Nugie. That's KellyNugee. You can listen to me on my podcast. I have two podcasts, Teen Creeps, where we talk about YA pulp fiction from the 80s and 90s, and Same Day Shipping, where I ship every one with everyone that I can, and usually do nasty ships. And if you have the El Rey Network, our show just came out. It is El Rey Nation, where we talk about all things pop culture.
Dope.
Where do you get the El Rey Network?
Cable. So that would be Cox Communications, Charter, and Spectrum, and DirecTV.
Word. Yeah. That's awesome. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there was this. Okay. So there's this tweet. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It says, okay, try to intuit the tweet before this one. You cannot. And it is a retweet of Azealia Banks saying Impossible Burgers. And then if you click on it, it is a thread that says, no, pro-life is not about promoting abortion like a belly ring and starving weird deep state liberals of research material. Abortion is only promoted as a human right so they can get their hands on embryos and fetuses to experiment. I am extremely pro-life for this reason. Second one. Funny how gays and then D.K.E.S., I'm assuming the slur, fight most for abortion rights and have no clue what they're actually supporting. You're supporting a culture that glamorizes abortion as a human right in order to conduct clandestine experiments and do weird cloning and grow organs like Impossible Burgers.
Wait, what the fuck? Who is that?
So that was Azealia Banks.
Wow.
But yeah, if you just see Impossible Burgers, you're like, huh? I have no idea where that could come from.
Right.
As you're reading it, you're like, wait, what? And it's like a roller coaster. You're like, what are you talking about?
Damn. Yeah. That's why we eat Beyond.
You're a Beyond podcast.
Right, I'm a Beyond. We're Beyond.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me.
What's a tweet you enjoyed?
Well, you can find me and follow me at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. I know some of y'all even tag me, but then spell my name wrong in AKAs. It's not E-Y. I'm not Gray Worm, okay? I'm the dude with the gray perm. Okay, some tweets I like. First is from a listener at Sedwig, C-E-D-W-I-G, who taped the homegirl doing the wedge challenge.
Yeah.
Eating the motherfucking wedge salad like a fucking, just a slice of pizza.
Right.
Okay?
Now, she used two hands. I want to challenge the next
to do a one. Yeah, someone else was
one hand like apple style.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I want to see people.
But she did her job and I don't want
to. And it looks like a nice white tablecloth restaurant too. Yeah. So shout out to you for, you know, just upending tradition.
For fucking up a Buca di Beppo.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? If anything, Zeitgang were transgressors. Okay?
That's right.
So. Please,
that's how we're taking down the Patreon.
Hashtag wedge challenge. Please pull up to the wedge challenge or make yours at home. It's got to be cheap. Just buy a head of iceberg lettuce and it can be a $2 thing. You don't have to go to a fancy restaurant. So shout out to you at Sedwick. Sedwig, a few tweets I like. One is from Kate Berlant. Okay, so some of these tweets are going to have some Game of Thrones spoilers. So look, if you want to just skip because I got to do these because these are funny. One is first, Kate Berlant at Kate Berlant. Watching the second to last ep of Game of Thrones right now. Have never seen it. I like the dragon. Also, is this set in Europe? and Kate then a few. Nate Fernald, a different one, not a Game of Thrones one. He tweeted, "I'd rather be a virgin than someone who's never been on a podcast." Apt. And finally, this one is a sound one. Can I play this one, Dan? Okay, so this is a very good video clip from. I think it's from this person, Lord Gatsby of House Stark, at On Fire Gatsby. And it's just this video clip.
Commoners, nobles, they're all just children, really. They won't obey you unless they fear
you. This is Game of Thrones.
I am not here to be Queen of the Ashes.
They hard cut to her destroying motherfucking King's Landing. Okay, so yeah, those are my favorites.
Tweet I enjoyed, Blank Patch tweeted, switch the first letters of two words for your Star Wars name. I'll start Nape Grutz. And then he said Stench Fruert. This is my favorite. These really just sound like Star Wars names. My favorite is Myrrh Six-A-Lot. Like, for Sir Mix-A-Lot.
Myrrh Six-A-Lot.
And Stingo Rar. Park Mammal. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from Eve Toomer, or Eves. It's spelled Y-V-E-S, so however you want to do it, if you want to be more European about it, but this is the artist Eve Toomer, and the track is called Noid, and it's very, it's got a lot going on, you know, avoid the Noid, if y'all remember that. Is it Domino's? Yep, we stay on brand.
Yeah.
We always stay on brand. Shout out to Domino's. But yeah, this artist, very experimental stuff. It's kind of, it's, I don't know. I don't, just listen to it. This man's from Tennessee, I believe. So check it out. Very interesting.
Awesome. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We are going to ride out on Noid. And we will be back tomorrow with more podcasts. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.